Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, you are listening to Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke, and I'm just dropping in at the start of the episode here to tell you that you are about to listen to our final live show recorded at the Melbourne Comedy Festival on the Sunday just gone. It was a lot of fun, as they all have been, and we had a very special guest and good friend of the podcast, Nick Mason, returned to be part of the show, so that was very exciting for us, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy that too. I'll be back at the end of the episode to thank a few Patreon supporters. But until then, I'll say enjoy the episode, and I'll see you in about 56 minutes. All right, see ya.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome down to Do Go On Live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. My name is David Bowie, and I'm very happy to be here tonight. No, my name is Dave Warnke, and I'm here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, thank you so much. What a pleasure. I told Evan on sound, he goes, do I need to stop that track? I go, no, it'll stop itself. It will definitely not roll back into David Bowie and make us all look like fuckheads.
Thank God that didn't happen. Wow. It's so good to be here. This is our live show, last live show at the Comedy Festival. Guys, we are absolutely pumped, except for possibly Jess, who has...
No, I'm pumped.
She has some health issues today. You woke up with a terrible migraine, is that right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm speaking the mic. I was about to speak into my drink.
Is this...
I'm not good. I'm in a world of pain, but you guys look great.
And we're all here ready to...
I was sick now. One time, right? One time I tried to get... Hashtag pray for Matt going. And the very next week, this is... Bullshit, Jess. I don't believe her, and I don't think you should give her any sympathy. Look at her. Look how happy she looks. She's not sick.
Leave
what
me
a
alone.
Dog act.
No,
hey, what's this? What's this? What's going on here?
We do have a fourth chair here, ladies and gentlemen, because tonight, or this afternoon rather, we have a very special guest. Could you please... it is not David Bowie, but it is someone equally as cool. Would you please give it up for, you know it from the Weekly Planet podcast, it is Nick Mason, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa!
What?
What? What? Nah.
Are you booing, sir?
It's tradition, it's fine. I know my lot in life.
Do you often get booed on the street?
Yeah, I demand it. It was part of my rider, didn't you read that? I want some booers around as we leave.
Boo!
Thank you. It's great to be back, guys. I'm your Ringo Starr.
Yes, you are still alive. That's
correct,
right.
Yeah.
You will outlive two of us.
Should I go living longer than Matt?
No.
Yes.
Jess, you're the health-riddled problems. Makes sense. Anyway, great to be here. Mason, are you well?
I'm under the weather because it's the last day of festival, but other than that, I don't even do comedy. I don't understand.
Pray for Mason.
Thank you, if you could.
Hang on, I thought that was at him. So I just got fingered. for those at home, I was just letting the people at home know that Jess fingered me, that's all. I don't know why you reacted like that. That was weird. How many shows have you seen at the
60-ish, probably.
That is fucking intense.
Yep.
Anyone
agreed.
Beat that? Anyone here beat 60? Oh.
How many?
73. Okay. And you came to my show. And you're a really nice guy. Thank you.
Would you put this show in the top 72?
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty good. Was it better than Matt's show?
No comments.
Oh, wow.
I put you in a terrible position there. I'm so sorry. It's great to have Meso here, considering that we are at a comedy festival with 600 plus shows. Comedians all over the world come here, and we have got our friend Nick Mason, who's not even doing his show, to be part of it.
You're welcome.
That's how
I'm the most refreshed guest you could have possibly gotten, I think. Everybody else is just ruined.
For the last 22 nights off. Yeah. It's great to have you here.
And yeah. As a grey shirt.
Thank you. Feel good about it.
It's not all comedy, guys.
Some of it will be complimentary.
Some of it's just friendship.
Well, before we get into the report side of things, I've just been reminded by my own brain to tell you that there.
It's just it.
Yeah. If you need to get up to go to the John, as I call it, or the toilets, as you plebeians call it, or to get a drink or anything, there is a camera there, so you will have to either navigate that or sit there and shit yourself. Two options. Those are the options. Because we are filming for the first ever time this live podcast, so...
This might last the whole episode. We've got to ride this out.
You're an idiot.
We've got to jump into this report because it is actually Jess's turn to do a report. But because she woke up with a migraine this morning at 12 o'clock, the report was delegated to myself.
But she'd obviously written the report.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she had... I'll start reading the report and I'll tell you stop when Jess's report finishes and mine begins.
So you two already know what the topic is, so I guess it's up
to Jess
me and
Meso.
Ooh, here we go.
So can I pretend to not know? Soph says yes.
Yeah. You can't be trusted. All right, so if you haven't heard the show before, we usually start with a question to get us on topic. And my question is...
Dave wrote the question. I did not write the question.
He doesn't write questions. The question is for Meso and Matt, and then for you guys afterwards. What mythical creature is Scotland's national animal?
Oh, my God. Billy Connolly.
He's pretty mythical.
It's pretty mythical.
Mason, do you have any ideas?
That's got to be the easiest question that's been asked on the show.
I think so. We're going to have to dance around it for a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Good work with Billy Connolly.
Thank you.
Do some joke answers.
What if I was to tell you that the...
Haggis.
Stinginess.
Is that a well-known Scottish trait? Yeah. Bloody stingy bastards. What if I was to tell you... That is probably not what you think, and it is. What do you think it is, Matt?
Loch Ness Monster.
It is. It is actually a unicorn.
Ah.
That is genuinely their national animal. And my follow-up question was going to be, because I thought you might get that, what should be Scotland's national animal?
Billy Connolly.
Yes. Matt, do you want to have one more go on?
I knew that, actually. Because, you know, my surname, Stuart, is relatively Scottish.
Really? You haven't mentioned that 800 times on this podcast.
And I'm... Very stingy, Meso. I think that's where he got that from. I forgot where that sentence was meant to go.
It's the Loch Ness Monster, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
That is our topic today. I'm glad you didn't boo that. That would have been a long one hour. You hate everything. Fair. So we've got the Loch Ness Monster. That is our topic today. Have you guys been to Loch Ness?
No, never.
No.
I wanted to because I was in Edinburgh last year and I was like, it's surely just up the road. It's quite far.
Pretty
and
close.
I was like, nah.
Were you hoping to walk to Loch Ness?
I was going
to
walk, but I thought like maybe a bus.
Well, I'll make up for you because...
Again, not all funny.
I think I've seen an episode of The Goodies where they went to Loch Ness, or it might have been an episode where they just hit each other with sticks for 22 minutes. I'm really not sure. I've seen an episode of The Goodies.
You've seen one episode.
Yeah.
Now, well, don't worry. I'm glad I'm doing the report, not you, Jess, because I've actually been to Loch Ness twice. Been on twice. Growing up in the affluent east when I was 11, my parents took me to Scotland.
Of course, yeah.
And then when I was 23, both times I went on the river cruise, and what you do is you sort of look out for the Loch Ness Monster, and I was much more dedicated when I was 11. I thought I was going to see him. Neither time I saw it, but I'm still fascinated by Loch Ness. So let's do this. For those that don't know, Loch Ness is a large, deep, freshwater loch in the Scottish Highlands, which is...
If you don't know what a loch is, what is a loch?
A loch is the Irish, Scottish, Gaelic and Scots word for a lake.
He has an answer for everything, don't try.
No.
He clicks on every hyperlink in Wikipedia. Just in case.
696 links to go. Loch Ness is the largest Scottish loch by surface area. It's 22 square miles or 56 square kilometres. Loch Lomond is bigger than it, but because of its depth, the Loch Ness, it is it has more fresh water than all lakes in England and Wales combined. So cop that, England and Wales! Yes! If it was drained, it could hold the population of the world more than 10 times over.
Wait, what? What does that mean?
And who builds those statistics? What madman?
If you melted us down?
Yeah. Well, no, if there's no water in the lake, it's so big you can.
And we all just stood next to each other.
Mm.
So if you wanted to turn Loch Ness into some sort of mass grave for the entire planet, we could.
And I do.
Dave started early with the mass graves. Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, fuck off. I have to tiptoe around every subject because they all link back to Nazis somehow. For no, God's sake, I just want to talk about mass graves for 10 minutes, okay? God's sake. Now, the earliest... Oh, actually, at its deepest point, it's 230 metres deep. So that is pretty deep.
Again, not all funny.
No, all funny. The earliest report of a monster in the vicinity of... Oh, by the way, I've already stopped Jess's report.
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we started reading, I was like, whoa.
Hey, Dave, should you also warn everyone about what happens next door at the 20?
All right, so every week there is a wrestling live show next door and it goes off. And we always go fuck yourselves. And people at home are probably thinking, who are they talking to? Like it's you guys, the live audience. So that's just for... bit of context there. I thought Jess was getting ready to get
I'm okay, going to. Today's the day. I'm picking a fight with those wrestling cunts.
Do you think that you might be sick, Jess, karma-wise, because of a certain rant against an 18-year-old Bindi Irwin last week?
I don't think there's a connection. And I stand by my opinions.
I think they could be. Now the
she's just so close.
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck her. The earliest report of a monster in the vicinity of Loch Ness appears in The Life of St. Columba, which is a book written in the 6th century AD. According to the story, which was written about a century after the events described, so you know it's reliable. Irish monk St. Columba, who this whole story is about, was staying near Loch Ness with his companions when he encountered local residents burying a man by the River Ness. They explained that the man was swimming in the river and he was attacked by a water beast, which mauled him and dragged him under the water. So they were probably just trying to cover up a murder. That is essentially what has happened there.
As a water beast.
What are you guys doing there with that body? Not us.
We didn't do it. A water beast did. So that answers that question.
Yeah. A water beast carrying a sword. Examine those wounds.
Good day, sir.
Columba sent a follower to swim across the river. So cowardly. Did not go himself. To try and sort out this water beast that he had heard about. Apparently, the beast approached him. But Columba, still on the shore, made the sign of the cross. Another very cowardly way to protect someone. Don't worry, I got you. Doesn't always work. It does not always work.
Do you think he did that? Yeah, that's probably it, yeah.
Columba said...
He probably just threw, like, communion wafers into the water.
Like,
feeding the
like
duck
style.
Yeah, all that.
Oh, okay, yours was cuter. All right. Nah, fair enough.
He said, "Go no further. Do not touch the man. Go back at once." The creature stopped as if it had been pulled back with ropes, and it fled under the water. Columba's men gave thanks for what they perceived as a miracle.
Can you give us an example of what it would look like to be pulled back by the reins?
Oh, shit! And they're all like, miracle.
So basically everyone had an angle here. Like, Columba gets a miracle.
He looks like he's doing a job and they get away with murder.
Murder, exactly, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some guy that, like, stole, like, the town's soup or something.
Soup?
So he got soup. So everyone wins.
Yeah. Everyone's
stole
winning, baby.
Stole the town's soup. That was your go-to.
You know how all small towns have a big vat of soup?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Keeps them warm in the winter.
I'm a country gal, yeah. I know.
That's right.
And they're so
no,
stingy.
You're not.
I know.
Yeah, you're also from the affluent east, please. It is said that Columba banished the ferocious water beasts to the depths of the river, which the River Ness, which flows from the north end of the loch. So he didn't even let it hang out in the loch anymore. Columba is today credited with spreading Christianity in what is today Scotland. So that is probably why Scotland is Christian. Just because he did that.
That's so good.
That's not the sign of the cross, is it?
No. No.
It's like this. They go...
What? But
you're thinking of Madonna.
That's, oh, Madonna.
Yeah, that's Madonna.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Be honest. I need you to imagine. You're a crazy giant sea monster. What's scarier? Or this? I'd be if I was walking to my car and I looked over and someone was doing that,
yeah,
like eyeballing me, I'd shit myself.
Dave, I feel you could do that without the sign of the cross. It's all in the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, the cross sort of takes away from the gaze a little bit. Believers in the monster point to this story, the story that I just told you, as evidence for the creature's existence as early as the 6th century. Skeptics question the narrative's reliability, noting that water beast stories were extremely common in medieval times.
But so were water beasts.
And
so.
Murders, probably.
And murders. Yeah.
Yeah, every time someone died. Water beast. Struck again. Then we've got cuts 1,200 years to 1871. Or 1872.
Both good years.
I wasn't going to say also 1872. I just needed you to say that.
Did you mean 1972?
Unlike you, I read the date as it's written down.
I'm confused.
1871
by that year.
Or 1872. Unsure of the year, I'll tell you why. A Scottish man known to history as D. Mackenzie, would not give his first name, he reportedly saw an object resembling a log or an upturned boat, quote, wriggling and churning in the water in Loch Ness. The object moved slowly at first, disappearing at faster speed. D. Mackenzie sent his story into a newspaper in 1934, a mere 62 years later, shortly after a popular interest in the monster had increased. And this is what he wrote.
He said, wait, it looked like a log.
Yeah.
I know what that must be.
or an upturned boat. On a lock, can you imagine such a thing?
Nah, yeah, I know, yeah. They don't make sense. I know what makes sense.
It could have been Billy Connolly riffing as a log. Yeah. He's so versatile.
He is versatile.
This is what he wrote into the newspaper. I saw it about 1871 or 1872, as near as I can remember now. I was on the rock above, insert Scottish word here. I seriously can't read that.
Nah, give it a whirl.
A breakin. Nailed it.
I don't know that you did. The Dreakin.
Do you want to have a go at that? Let's all have a go at that.
No, it's a Breakin.
Yeah. It's a Bria-chan. It's Japanese.
Oh. Yeah. So he briefly went to Japan. That's how unreliable this story is.
Had a shepherd's pie. Hey? Is that a thing? Is that a... No? What?
It's a thing for Dave.
Oh, in Japan. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
What'd you have? Shepherd's pie and garlic bread.
Shepherd's pie and garlic bread.
He's so cultured.
Oh, man.
He loves it. He loves to soak up culture.
Yeah. Sushi can go fuck.
If you're not even going to get your own in-jokes, mate, then what am I fucking doing here?
So sorry. He wrote, when he was in Breakin, I saw what I took to be a log of wood coming across the log. The water was very calm at the time. It was about 12 o'clock on a grand sunny day. So it was impossible.
The wrestling has started, ladies and gentlemen.
Go fuck yourself!
We are not at all ready to rumble. It's very upsetting.
Trying to have a civilized bloody comedy show here. I was about to go strong there.
You know I went strong early. I think you can do it.
Okay. These. Nah, good on
them. No, now they're just politely
clapping. That was
clapping.
Like a polite golf clap.
No, Oh, very good.
Please welcome to the stage, Deathmonger.
Oh, very good.
So I was going to say, he said, the end of the quote was, it was about 12 o'clock on a grand sunny day, so that it was impossible for me to be mistaken. He wasn't even sure what year this happened.
But it was definitely sunny.
Definitely.
He remembers that.
And that is not a mistake.
62 years is a long time to remember back. I remember 62 years ago when I was... I think I was just about to retire from my third job.
Wait, what?
I'm really old.
He's pretty old.
Nailed it.
Stole your thunder, fucko.
Now, modern interest in the monster was sparked by a sighting on the 22nd...
Oh, shut up!
Yes, Dave. For the people at home, Jess was telling Dave to shut up.
Sorry, Dave, you're beautiful.
Modern interest in the monster was sparked
by... Don't talk quieter.
By a sighting. On the 22nd of July, 1933, when a man called George Spicer and his wife saw a, quote, most extraordinary form of animal.
What was her name?
Mrs. Good question.
Georgina Spicer.
No one ever pretty knows good. The wife's name.
No, names attract. George and Georgina. They saw this most extraordinary form of animal cross the road in front of their car. They described the creature as having a large body, about 1.2 metres high, 8 metres long, and a long, wavy, narrow neck, slightly thicker than an elephant's trunk. Which, as we all know, is how we measure how thick things are. The trunk was as long as 3 to 4 metres long.
Was it wearing a bow tie?
It was bow tie-less. Repeat, bow tie-less. They also said they saw no limbs. Repeat, it was limbless.
How did it push the button at the crossing?
It's just waiting. Oh, waiting for someone else to come along. Yeah. Waiting for a chicken to come along.
Oh, yeah.
Cross the road with him. Yeah, yeah. I know. It's not all good. I'm taking a lot of very strong painkillers.
It lurched across the road, 20 metres away, leaving a broken trail of undergrowth in its wake, and then it went back into the lock.
So it was out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was on a day trip. It was on a small day trip. The next month, August 1933, a motorcyclist, Arthur Grant, claimed to have nearly hit a creature at about 1 a.m. on a moonlit night. So that's trustworthy as well, isn't it?
This thing's out all the time. It's out at midday, it's out at night.
What's it doing?
What's it doing?
Yeah, is it nocturnal? Is it the opposite of
it's a full and varied life.
It's out and about.
It's not nocturnal, it's locturnal.
Yeah, good. Very good. Yep. Round of applause.
Thank you, Matt.
Stew it.
He is checking the football scores.
Nah, Ricky's earned it. Let him. Hey.
All right, Matt, give us a quick footy update.
Mm-hmm. He's checking. Hang on.
You keep going.
Okay, no worries. You'll yell out. No worries.
Yeah, great. His priorities are in order, obviously.
Yeah. This motorcyclist, Grant, who was a veterinary student, described it as a cross between a seal and a plesiosaur, which, obviously, as a vet, you come across every day of the week.
All the time.
He said he got off his bike and followed it to the lock, but by the time he got to the water to catch up with it, he only saw ripples. He produced a sketch of the creature. It was examined by famous British zoologist Nessie skeptic Maurice Burton, who stated it was consistent with the appearance and behaviour of an otter.
Ooh.
A giant fucking otter.
That's pretty scary.
Also, for a second there, I thought the name of the zoologist was going to be Nessie skeptic, and I was like, that'd be very convenient, right?
That is great.
Maddie, how's the footy going?
Saints down by a point, but...
Hey.
Against Geelong, ladder leaders, so
yeah,
that's
great.
Not too bad.
No, good
happy
for you.
With that at this stage. And,
hey, what a day.
Yeah, wow. This could be a really great day.
Yeah.
A few months later, November 1933, still 1933, it's going through the roof, this thing. The first alleged photograph of Nessie was taken. It was slightly blurred, aren't they always? And it has been noted that if one looks closely, the head of a dog can be seen.
But where? No one knows.
The person who took the photo, Gray, had taken his Labrador for a walk that day. It is suspected that the photograph depicts his dog fetching a stick from the lock.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Is that
He's like, proof, it's proof.
Is that just that really famous photo?
Like, no, we're not up to the really, really famous one that if I say Loch Ness Monster, you all imagine. We are very close to that.
Okay.
But with the Labrador-style photo, our old mate, Skeptic Maurice Burton, Nessie Skeptic, had a look, and guess what he saw?
Quote,
when blown up and projected on the screen, it revealed, quote, an otter rolling on the surface in characteristic fashion. This guy just sees otters everywhere. Look at that face. Face of an otter, if I've ever seen one. It's like you go to a vet.
Matt, do something an otter would do.
No, I think that is his otter impression. It's very good.
That's much more otter-like than something that looks like someone's described as looking like a dinosaur, and the guy's gone, classic otter.
Are we sure it wasn't an otter?
No limbs and a 3-meter-long trunk.
Yeah.
What
am I thinking of?
You're thinking of a plesiosaur.
Sorry.
We're never sure what you're thinking of.
I've got a note here that the largest otter, I looked it up, there's 13 species of otter. The largest one is 45 kilos, and that's like the biggest one ever. 45 kilos.
What do you weigh again? Dave. That is bigger than you.
You're 52, right?
No, oh. It's slightly small. So imagine me in otter form. Chop off my leg or something.
See, this is so clearly a Dave report because I would not have looked that up. You know?
Any of it.
Oh, God. I looked up Loch Ness. Nailed it.
Dave's more of a twink than an otter, though, I think.
And it was the last guest appearance he ever did.
I reckon we'll have you back, Mesa.
Thanks, Val.
Yeah, the others will veto me. So 1933, you probably noticed, there's like 4 sightings in 1933, all possibly otters. But that's when the legend really took off around the world. It's been claimed that sightings of the monster increased after a road was built along the loch in that year, early 1933, bringing workers and tourists to a formerly isolated area. Locals deny this, saying it wasn't isolated before, but what you and I think is isolated is very different to what people from the Scottish Islands think is isolated. We have to keep that in mind.
Let's all have a moment just to think about that.
Just think about it. You get it.
Yeah.
1934. Inspired by all the talk of the monster Edward Mountain, who is the founder of Eagle Star...
That's a good name.
That's a great name.
So good.
Mountain.
Your name is Mountain. You found an insurance company. What would you call it? What would you call your insurance company?
Eddie Insurance.
Well, that's pretty good. Eagle Star Insurance.
Eagle Star Insurance.
I'm just reading it off the page. That's what it says. Look right there.
It says insurance, dickhead. Insurance.
Oh. I've been mispronouncing C for years. Eagle Star Insurance. I can't even do my mispronunciation. Which is, it became one of the UK's largest insurance companies. He decided to finance a search for the monster. He wanted to find the monster.
Oh.
He got 20 men with binoculars and... Imagine that, times 20. Oh, and cameras.
He's got to put his binoculars down first.
Binox down, camera up. But if you're at home, Jess is acting it out right now. I'm not sure why, but it's great. It's really fun.
What year is this?
Jess, it is 1934.
It's probably a box brownie camera.
A box brownie
camera. Like this, and then we look through here.
Not only is she miming this, she's also not talking to the mic. Just to really fuck the people at home.
Jess, are you going to mime the 3 to 4 week wait it takes to get it from Kodak and get the results?
Absolutely, I am. Right. I'll be silent for the rest of the podcast.
So these 20 guys, they've got binoculars, cameras, brownie box whatevers. They position themselves around the lock from 9 till 6 every day for 5 straight weeks. 5 straight weeks. They were paid £2 per week to sit by the lock with... Oh, my God, with box cameras. It says it right here. Box, I'm not even kidding. Box cameras.
I know.
bloody well done.
I mean, thank you, but like, I studied photography.
It was the style of the time, Dave.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Did you study photography of the 1930s?
If it said DSLRs, that would be weirder, right?
It'd be weird. I love it when people are impressed that I know things. It makes me really happy and also a little bit sad. Oh, she's an idiot, but she knew something.
They also offered a bonus of £10.50, so their whole week's wage for 5 weeks, if they got a successful picture of the monster. So because of that, it's not unexpected that some of them put in some pretty blurry photos. 21 photographs were taken, none considered conclusive. So that guy wasted lots and lots of money. Now, later in the year 1934, the most famous photo of the monster came up. If you Google Loch Ness Monster right now, 80 years later, it still says, would you like to click on images? And you click on images. That's what it
says. To this very day.
Oh, boy. This is referred to as the surgeon's photo. The surgeon's photo. The surgeon's photograph is reportedly the first photo of the creature's head and neck. So before that, it was all ass shots. All. at the end of 1933, everybody, the Daily Mail, which was a piece of shit then, is a piece of shit now.
Whoa! Dave, taking down the big guns.
Oh, yeah. Taking it... No, they're widely condemned.
Yeah, nah, fuck them.
Yeah.
Take on somebody your own size, like Bindi Irwin.
Yeah. Genuinely my own size.
She's just so patronising. Fuck off. And do you know what? After that, so many people, a lot in this room, tagged me in her Instagram photos.
Oh, poor form.
And then I just have to look at it again. Like, shut up, Bindi, you sure? It's been a big week.
If we could get her as a guest on the podcast, that would be... But obviously, she wouldn't have time to listen back to the back catalogue. So what are the chances...
She'd listen to the Steve Irwin one.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, what are the chances of her picking that episode? The one about her dad. Yeah. Probably the first one I'd listen to as well.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Daily Mail, end of 1933, taking advantage of this new Nessie craze that's sweeping the world. They hired a famous...
Nessie craze.
The Nessie craze. It was a different time. They hired the famous big game hunter, Marmaduke Wetherill.
Fuck yes!
Oh my goodness.
Fuck yes!
I knew Jess would love that.
Marmaduke.
The Duke.
The Duke. Oh. They said... they asked him...
I enjoyed the Duke a lot.
They got the Duke to travel up to the Loch Ness to see if he could find the monster. He found no monster. However, in December, he found what he thought to be enormous tracks. Enormous footprints on the shore of the loch leading to the water. So he took photos of these, published in the Daily Mail. Unfortunately, researchers from the Natural History Museum examined the tracks, and they had been made with a dried hippo's foot.
Ew.
The kind that were...
Better than a moist hippo's foot, though.
The kind that were popularly used as umbrella stands at the time.
It was a different time.
Yeah, it definitely was. Humiliated, Wetherill retreated. He retreated from public view, so he was widely laughed at because he'd published photos of a hippo's foot in Scotland, and because of this,
that was very taboo at the time. You did not take a photo of a hippo's
you
foot.
No.
A few months later, the Loch Ness Monster again made headlines when a highly respected surgeon and gynecologist, Colonel Robert Wilson, came forward with a picture that appeared to show a sea serpent rising out of the water of the loch.
He's a colonel.
Colonel.
And a gynecologist.
And a surgeon.
I'm not going to that guy.
I reckon I would.
For all your gynecological needs.
Yes. Of which I have many. Jess, thank you for minding your own business.
I'm going to need to have a chat to Matt later.
Wilson claimed that he took the photograph early in the morning, April 19, 1934, when driving along the northern shore of Loch Ness. He said he noticed something moving in the water, stopped his car, took four photos, and when he exposed them, two of them came out clearly. So he's got two photos. For a number of years, the photo was considered evidence of the monster. So this was published. Everyone's like, oh, it exists. Skeptics dismissed it.
I think they're Scottish. So what would they have said?
That was seven words condensed into one. So, my grandfather was born in Scotland and came to Australia like in the 1930s. And then, no, 1925 to be exact. And when I was on this trip to Loch Ness, we went to where he was born, in a town called Straven. And we went to the farm, which is still owned by relatives of his. And we met the farmer who owns the farm. He was like a guy in his late 70s at the time. And I could not understand a word he said. I was 11 and I was just going, mm-hmm. It was like, oh, murmur. And then he would just pause and go, oh, aye. That's the only thing I knew. Seriously, I could not understand a word. And my mum's just like nudging me, like, just smile. This is your great cousin or something.
Your face was fucked.
My face was directly quoting his face.
Do it again. That's pretty good.
For a number of years, this photo was considered evidence. Skeptics dismissed it as driftwood, a bird, or an otter. Fucking did. The photo's scale was controversial because it looked like it had been zoomed in on and then cropped. Because then they found an uncropped shot which made it look very, very small in comparison to the waves around it. So people were dubious of it. But no one analysed the photo properly for 50 years until in 1984. Stuart Campbell analysed the photo in a 1984 article in the British Journal of Photography. Jess, I'm sure you subscribe to that as a big photography fan.
Yep.
Great.
You know when she cracked it at the crowd before for appreciating her knowledge on cameras? No one knew that you'd studied photography at that point. So what they were doing was very nice, and you got so angry at them. I haven't been able to concentrate on the report since then. Because that was very rude.
Don't turn them against me. You do this every time.
Look, to be honest, they should be turned against you. Am I right, guys? Viva la revolution! Hey, we're going!
Who are you booing? I'm glad you are, though.
I feel like I've got some of them, and I've lost a few others.
Yeah. You lost this guy. He was booing again.
He was born to boo, that man.
So born to boo.
I haven't heard him say any words. Can you?
Boo.
Yeah.
Are you Scottish? Very good. So this guy analysed the photo and he said the object in the water in the photo could only be 2 or 3 feet long at most.
I like Dave standing.
Yeah,
at my
standing,
height.
Yeah.
Hey, little fella.
Hello.
Hey.
Are you standing because there's a revelation coming?
He's going to drop some truth bombs.
Here we go.
This guy concluded that it was either a bird or an otter. Another fucking otter. Yeah. But he was wrong. Remember our old mate Marmaduke Wetherill?
How could we ever forget?
Now you've turned into a preacher and I love it.
The hunter, who has just become the hunter. It only works if it becomes the hunted. He's the one that was embarrassed by the Daily Mail publishing his monster tracks that turned out to be a hoax, probably that they did in the first place, and then they made fun of him. Well, he wanted revenge on the old Daily Mail. He was the one that copped all the heat, not them. This is a quote, "We'll give them their monster," his son later remembered him saying, which is a great line.
He's upset we've pointed out that he's standing up and now he has to lean into every single thing. Yeah.
So Marmaduke got together with his son Ian, his son-in-law.
Ian.
Marmaduke called his son Ian. What an asshole. What a dog, hey?
Yeah.
Conan.
I've lived
Conan.
A blessed life with the best name in the world. Fuck my son.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. Big time.
Well, he's got Ian. He's also got his son-in-law, who's a sculpture specialist named Christian.
Still not great, no.
And an insurance... an insurance agent named Maurice Chambers.
Maurice!
Not bad.
Or
not bad.
Morris Chambers. Probably Maurice Chambers. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. They bought a toy submarine from a local supermarket.
What?
And built a monster's neck from wood putty. After testing it at a local pond, the group went to Loch Ness, where Ian Wetherill, the son, took the photos near Scottish word tea house. Altsai tea house. When they heard when they heard a water bailiff, which is like a cop that patrols the lock, approaching, Marmaduke sank
That's
the monster.
That's great.
Lock cop.
Lock cop is very good.
It's Scotland's number one grossing cop drama. Lock cop.
CSI Lock Cop.
It's a bit of driftwood again.
Ooh-ah.
We thought it was a murder, but it was just a water beast again. So
every week is the same. Yeah. Lock cop and two smoking barrels.
That's not bad.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good pun. So anyway, here's the lock cop coming. So Duke, being the hunter guy, he takes his foot out and kicks the submarine out, which sinks. Shit our submarine, by the way.
From a wait, supermarket.
But they're also... That's what they're meant to do.
Really good submarine. Really good submarine. Which is presumably still somewhere in Loch Ness. The insurance man Chambers gave the photograph to Wilson, her gynecologist. He enjoyed a good practical joke, a friend of theirs. He bought the photos to a chemist, which developed them. Then he sold the photos to the Daily Mail, who announced that the monster had been photographed. This whole story was secret until 1994, when the sculptor, Christian Sperling, before his death at the age of 90, on his deathbed, confessed to his involvement in the Loch Ness monster plot.
I sort of tuned out for a bit. You know, on Law and Order, when there's a scene transition, it's like, donk, donk. I imagine on Lock Cop, it's like an excruciating bagpipe solo for like 2-4 minutes. Anyway, could you say the whole thing again?
Well,
it's like that. It's like, looks like this one was a water beast.
So, you want a summary?
Yes, if you could.
Oh, aye. And so we're up to...
They put a fake submarine in there.
Yeah, okay, cool, great.
In 1977, Anthony Doc Shields, camping, on a carpet.
Dave's had a stroke.
It's all right. We've only got 10 minutes to go. I can make this. Camping next to Urquhart Castle, which is a beautiful castle there. If you've been there, of course, I have twice, unlike these plebeians. He took some of the clearest pictures of the monster that have ever been photographed. Shields, who is a magician, psychic, and painter.
So a pretty rad dude. I'd like him at a dinner party, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know you're all about to trust what he saw, but let me...
He also dabbles in gynecology. He's a gyno.
Oh.
Dabbles. He's a dabbler.
He dabbles. Oh, don't dabble down there.
This is my favourite thing I read about Doc Shields. Quote, he had several solo exhibitions in London before then leaving St. Ives, where he lived, following a drunken incident in which he threatened a police officer with a gun that he had obtained from his painter friend, Terry Frost. He considers himself an artist first and foremost, and his life's work to be a form of surrealism that he refers to as...
Gynecology.
I paint primarily with his gun. I don't know if that's... I don't know if it's successful, but, you know.
So we all trust this guy now.
Yep.
He claimed to have summoned the Loch Ness Monster out of the water. He later described it as an elephant squid, claiming the long neck shown in the photograph is actually the squid's trunk and the white spot at the base of the neck is its eye. I've looked at the photo. No, Doc. Due to the lack of ripples, it has been declared a hoax by a number of people and received the name the Loch Ness Muppet. And I've seen it, and it looks like a dinosaur in a bathtub. Or an otter! In a bathtub.
Did you write that down?
No, I didn't, but...
That was off the cuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
He rarely works off the cuff, Dave, so... Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a golf clap for your off the cuff work there. That's pretty good.
The same yeah. clap that Murderhorn next door got.
Murderhorn?
I called him something, Murderface, you know. Do you remember? Murder Death.
Oh, he does talk.
Two words you can understand from a Scot.
He only
murder and death.
He only boos and threatens. So it's just boo, murder, death. All of you.
Oh, we'll take it.
Ooh, I.
Ooh,
1987, Operation Deep Scan was conducted, and that is the biggest sonar search that they've ever done. It cost them £1 million.
Operation Deep Scan.
Gynecology. Is that what you were?
No, that was where no? I was okay. going, but thanks for going there.
Oh, no. Hey, Dave, when you edit this...
Do you want me to boost the volume on that little bit you said
yeah.
before?
Yeah. Just have that. That on repeat for the solid 3 minutes.
That was my request, yes.
Just about going, gynecologist. Gynecologist. Break it down, man. Operation Deep Scan, 1987. 24 boats equipped with echo sounder equipment were deployed across the width of the lock and simultaneously sent acoustic waves across it.
So how many pairs of binoculars?
How many? 600 pairs of binoculars.
That's a lot of binoculars.
Dave, let's send some acoustic waves, shall we?
Is that coming through?
That's good stuff. Yeah. You're picking up those acoustic waves, Evan? Oh, he's getting them.
His ears are bleeding. After examining a sonar return indicating a large moving object at a depth of 180 metres near Urquhart Bay, Lawrence, who's founder of Lawrence Electronics, said, "There's something here that we don't understand, and there's something here that's larger than a fish. Maybe some species that hasn't been detected before. I don't know."
Like an otter.
They are larger than a fish,
yeah.
Ah.
And can anyone here truly say that they understand the otter? No, exactly.
That's beautiful.
With their Thank long you. Trunks and yeah. lack of limbs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They've baffled me for years.
Yeah. Will we ever truly know the otter, though?
With their white eye at the base of the neck. But they spent £1 million, didn't exactly find anything. This was the
guy who owned the electrics company.
Yeah, so he said that...
So it was a sponsored... It's an ad, basically.
Yeah, so they didn't find anything, and then...
It's a good ad. Yeah. Good ad. I'm thinking about going to buy some stuff from there after the show.
Right, some 1980s electronic sonar equipment.
Well, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Anyone got the footy score? Yeah. What? Sides up by two. Let's. I'm back in.
Yeah. Look, you're happy with that, but all I'm thinking is that you are looking up the footy.
Dave, don't worry.
I understand, mate. I do understand.
Dave, we've got his money. It's fine. He can do whatever he wants.
Thank you very much. Eventually, just. Great. So it's a current score then.
So half time.
So there's no need for you to continue to look for the next 10 minutes of the show.
You support Matt, don't you?
He just said, "I don't even support them." Yet you.
No, but he wanted. He wanted. He knew Matt needed to know. And
what's your name, sir? Exactly right. What? Niall. I love you, Niall.
That's a fucking great name too.
Yeah.
Niall.
Yeah,
he's just a big fan of Bodies of Water. He doesn't even care. I'm sorry, everyone. I've been awake a really long time. I'm so sorry.
Took me a while.
I'm waiting for Dave to get it.
No, I know, again, I'm trying to work in... Shut up, man. I'm denying you.
I would have thought you'd have been working on some sort of death on the River Nile. Is that
death?
The thing?
Oh, yeah. Death on Nile, one of the greatest Agatha Christie Poirot episodes. Books. Oh, man, it's so good. I challenge you to watch it and work out who you think did it. And I won't spoil it because it's so good. It's got the guy from Starsky and Hutch in it. Whoa. The original.
Ben Stiller. Yeah.
Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson are not in the film.
Then but I don't am let that not put you watching
off.
It.
Don't let that put
I
you
will
off.
Only watch their films. Their cinematic masterpieces.
Wedding Crashers?
Love it.
Right.
Story checks out.
In 2003, the BBC sponsored a search of the lock using 600 sonar beams and satellite tracking. The search had sufficient resolution to identify a small boy
B-U-O-Y. Huh? We found a boy!
But they leave him there?
Yeah, I know. It's not a monster, leave him.
There, some countries pronounce that buoy, and isn't that way better?
Buoy's buoy? Better.
So that's much confusing.
Better. Yeah.
Buoy.
But,
so fun.
Go again.
Buoy. Everyone now.
He's trying his best.
He's trying to say buoy the whole show. Oh, I get you now. I get you.
That is very good. That is very, very good.
They found a small buoy, but no animal of substantial size was found. And despite their high hopes, I can't believe they had high hopes of actually finding something. The scientists involved admitted that this proved the Loch Ness Monster was a myth. Searching for the Loch Ness Monster aired on BBC One in 2003. Don't watch it. They didn't find anything.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry about that. The most recent thing that I found on the Loch Ness Monster, April 19, 2014, it was reported that a satellite image on Apple Maps... Apple's version of the mapping software.
No, we know what maps are.
Not required, that explanation. Yeah.
If you have an iPhone. it showed what appeared to be a large creature, thought to be by some to be Loch Ness, that was just below the surface of the loch. The loch's far north...
At the loch's far north,
the image appeared about 30 metres long. possible explanations were the wake of a boat...
Oh, is that an Apple Maps burn?
That was an Apple Maps burn.
Yeah, fuck you, Apple Maps, you dickheads.
Way off.
For the listener at home, that was, if it's Apple Maps, it was probably Big Bin. Thank you.
I don't think that's what he said.
So it could have been Big Ben, it could have been the boat itself.
Are you saying Big Bin?
Ben. Yeah, the bin industry, you know, Big Bin. Yeah.
Don't fight Big Bin.
That's right.
You'll come off second best.
Oh,
some people refer to the whole of Scotland as one Big Bin, but that is not me. I am a big fan. Big fan. Big fan. Been there three times, so unlike these guys, am I right? Nazi. Yes, the mortal enemy of the Scot. I'm trying to get through. Possible explanations for this Apple Maps thing were the wake of a boat, Big Bin, a seal, floating wood, or an otter.
Yeah.
Thank you. That is my report on Loch Ness. So now we're going to go.
That was our report.
Okay. Go fuck yourself.
Thank you so much.
So another mystery. We'll never know.
Well, I want to go down the line here. Do you now believe in the Loch Ness Monster or some sort of giant otter?
I never stopped believing in the Loch Ness Monster.
Never stopped believing? May I say after that?
I think it was probably a twink of some kind, ultimately. Maybe it was that boy you talked about earlier.
Hello.
Yeah, so...
Hello.
Short answer, no.
And Matt Stewart, you...
Yeah, I now believe in otters. I do...
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll give you a round of applause if you now believe in the Loch Ness Monster.
Big Ben. Big Ben believes.
Give me a round of applause if you don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster.
A few undersized.
And give me a round of applause if you didn't give me a round of applause either of the first or second option.
And a round of applause for people who didn't give a round of applause then.
Okay, we got everyone.
Okay, we got nailed everyone.
Okay, everyone's
cool.
In.
Everyone's involved.
That is that is my report. Thank you so much. I've got to give a big shout out to the people that suggested this.
Oh, yeah.
One of the few things that Jess did was tell me who suggested it. That is your contribution, Jess.
We should also thank everyone who's come along. This is the last one of the live pods for now. So thanks so much, everyone here today, for coming along, and everyone who's come in the past, and...
Anyone who will come in the future.
Yes.
So, good.
Anyone who likes coming is all I'm saying. Which I think is most of us.
No, the Loch Ness Monster was suggested by...
There's his regret face.
Yeah, regret face, cum face, they're all the same.
Oh, that is true.
So, the Loch Ness Monster, we would like to thank. It was suggested by, on email, a person called Angus, probably Scottish. on Twitter, at Lennart Stales. Thank you, Lennart, whose real name is Lennart Stales. There you go. He got it.
He got
his name. At Austin Brackett, also got their name.
And also, Callum BW. Where'd you get Callum BW from?
Email.
Email. So thank you to those four people. Can we have a big round of applause for our very special guest, Mr. Nick Mason, ladies and gentlemen. The man in the West.
Boo.
Of course, if you want to hear more of Meso every single week, we can check out the weekly Planet podcast. But who doesn't? It's already so great. It's so, so great.
Who doesn't? I wouldn't. Seriously.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Who?
That's fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you should check it out. Is that why you're looking at me? Just to back you up there? Dave was right. You should check it out. If you like comic book movies.
Check out the Matt Stewart episode.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
All about you.
That was fun. That was fun.
I'm so tired.
Poor old Jess, we made it.
Thank you.
Pray for Bop. Thank you so much for coming out. Can we have a big round of applause to Evan on sound and Craig on camera today? Thank you so much. But that is the end of our final episode live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Thank you so much for coming out and everyone who has come out. We'll be back in the studio next week. But until next time, we will say...
Let's watch the second half downstairs.
Goodbye.
Later.
Thank you. We will grab that camera, so don't worry. You're not trapped here forever.
All right. I lied, it was only 54 minutes, you caught me, but I hope you did enjoy our final episode recorded there live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Big, big, big thank you to everyone that came out to our live shows over the last 4 weeks. I'm going to say a big thank you to the Imperial Hotel for hosting us on those Sundays. It was so fantastic, we packed out every single show, and when we booked this in, you have to book in stuff for the Comedy Festival about 6 months in advance. When we booked it in, we had no idea if it was going to be a terrible mistake and if no one would come and we'd lose lots and lots of money. But you all came out, you supported the show, and we are eternally grateful for that. And to be honest, I had such a good time that I'm looking forward to the next time we can do a live episode. We're thinking of possibly travelling interstate in Australia. So if you would like to be the first city that Do Go On visits outside of Melbourne, drop us a line, the more people that tweet us, or email us about their city, the more likely we are going to be able to make it there. But
hopefully we will make it around Australia. That would be so good. First Australia, then the world. Oh man, it is my secret little dream to goodbye and being able to travel, which I love to do, and also to be able to do the podcast live around the world. So hopefully that can happen one day. But to make these 4 live episodes possible in Melbourne, we'll have to thank 3 people especially that helped make them, and that is everyone who helped with the sound over the last 4 shows, and that is Evan Munro-Smith, Jeremy Webb, and Sam Peterson. Thank you guys so much. You made these episodes possible to be listened to.
And as mentioned in this episode, we did film it. The video will take us longer to edit together the 2 cameras and that kind of thing, but keep an eye out on our social medias. Hopefully it will be out sometime pretty soon. You can enjoy my facial expressions, Matt and Meso's beards, and Jess drinking a Coke, trying to stop her migraine, she mentioned a couple of weeks ago. She actually does do that. So something for everyone there. All right, I've got to thank a few of our Patreon supporters. And what a pleasure it will be, because I love to thank anyone who supports the show on patreon.com/dogoonpod. You make these shows possible for us to keep every single week. We have not missed a week yet. So we would like to thank... 3 absolute legends right now, and the first person I'd like to thank, all the way from Kansas, and that is Justin Robinson. Thank you so much for your support, Justin Robinson. Thank you, Justin. Here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, hey, hey. Yes, the jokes will be pretty obvious this week. I am recording them before I go to work. And there's a thunderstorm outside, so this could be the last of me. Hopefully I'll hit upload before I leave. Then I can get struck by lightning and no one will mind. But thank you, Justin Robinson. Another Patreon supporter is Kylie Kendall. Now, I bet you get this all the time, and I bet it's happened more and more over the last few years. But not one, but 2 Kardashian sisters together. Kylie and Kendall. Huh? I'm pretty sure they're Kardashian sisters. Well, Jenna's sisters, I have not had time to Google that. As I said, thunderstorm waiting my death. But Kylie and Kendall, Kylie Kendall. Now, I always often think about this. You probably could have got, I don't know how old you are, Kylie, but you could have gotten to 30 and no one would have ever said anything about your name. And suddenly these two little teenage girls that do absolutely nothing have come along and now that's all you get. I often think about, I used to go to school with someone called Rihanna. No one, you know, no one thought that was, you know, it was kind of an interesting name. And then the Barbadian singer came along and then suddenly everyone was singing Umbrella, Umbrella all the time at her. So there you go. I actually went to primary school also with someone called Donald Trump, which is a very original name in Arthur Miss Primary School, but no one ever thought anything of it. Now people just associate it with the guy that was from The Apprentice. Whatever happened to that guy? I don't know, I'll Google it. I'll get on Google. I'll Google all these things. I'm sure I've made a lot of mistakes here. And finally, would like to thank from Patreon, Trez Maverick. And Trez Maverick is a legend. He is a member of the Golden Hat, the 10 people that we have to do their ideas every now and then. All the way from Austin, Texas. Your topic is coming up very soon, Trez. I think you're the one after that we'll do for the Golden Hats. So probably sometime next month. Get excited, to be honest, it's a good topic that Trez has put in, so we can all get excited for that. So thank you so much to Trez, Kylie Kendall, and Justin Robinson. We appreciate your support on Patreon, and if you too would like to be thanked at the end of an episode, you too can support us on patreon.com/dogoonpod. We also release a bonus episode once a month. A couple of weeks ago, we did the Stanford Prison Experiment, which was, it's a highly requested topic, and the only way to hear that, Jess did a great report on it, fascinating stuff, is if you support Patreon, the episode is still available there. Available there, that's what I'm trying to say, but anyway. Again, thank you to everyone that came to the live shows. If you want to get in contact at any time, you can get in contact on Twitter at DoGoOnPod. Instagram and Facebook are also at DoGoOnPod. We chuck up stuff all the time that, you know, references episodes, or we retweet people that make funny references to the episode. So it's good fun if you are a fan of the show. DoGoOnPod@gmail.com. That's more of a private two-way street. We don't email out stuff all the time. Imagine that. But I suppose we could do a newsletter or something. But we do a newsletter on Patreon from time to time. So get on that if you want to get on the newsletter train. We'll be back next week with another episode. I think it will be a Jess week because she skipped this week and I did it. So Jess will be back. We'll be back in the studio. So if you prefer those types of episodes, set the clock 1 week from now. We will be back. But until then, thanks for listening and we'll talk to you very soon. I will say goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.